content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our program, or our readings rather, on this program cover the week of Monday, December 30th through Sunday, January 5th, 2025, well into the new year at this point. The commentary for January was written by Jackie Fulop, who has been in education for the past 30 years and is a Montessori elementary teacher. Jackie and her husband Tim are the parents of four grown children. They worship at Christ Church in Danville, Virginia, where Tim serves as priest in charge. The commentary for Monday, December 30th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 25, verse 8. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. Here's the commentary. My grandmother taught me what it means to be a good person who treats others with dignity and respect. When my brother and I would fight with a friend or family member, she would often say, "You always hold a light for the devil to see." As a teenager, those words really didn't mean much to me, but they stuck with me. Those words remind me that no matter who I encounter or how they may treat me, I need to see God's image in them. When my grandmother passed away, the family gathered, and I cried. I cried for the loss of wisdom that she still had to share. I cried for my kids who would never meet her. I cried for not being there when she died. As the psalmist says, tears had become my food when she died. Eventually the tears dried, mostly. I still miss her every day, her wisdom, her strength, her laughter, and especially her cooking. But the love of family and friends standing in for God wiped away the tears from our faces. God has a way of showing up, even in the tears. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Isaiah for this day. It's Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore strong peoples will glorify you, cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 30th, whose tears will you help wipe away? Now we turn to the commentary for the last day of this year, for Tuesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve. The commentary begins with a passage once again from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8a, O Lord, we wait for you. The prophet Isaiah found himself among a people who had lost hope. Their leaders were corrupt and self-serving. The people were divided one from another. The nation of Israel was terrorized by a small group of people, and fear roamed the land like a lion devouring its prey. Hope was far off, and fear and division took root in the people's hearts. To this people, God sent the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah bore witness to God's light, breaking into the world. Fast forward a few millennia, in a small town, a promised child is born to a young Mary. Jesus' birth among us was and is a reminder of our worth, a sign that God willingly entered our world, pointing us toward a different way. Being a witness to the light that is Jesus, as foretold by Isaiah, means that our lives, experiences, and very selves should reflect the good news we find in Jesus Emmanuel. Bearing witness to the light is not always a comfortable or easy thing, and it is certainly not without cost, but it is a calling of the highest order, and one we should seek to live into in this holy season of Christmas and always. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Isaiah. Once again, this is from chapter 26, verses 1 through 9. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up victory like walls and bulwarks. Open the gates so that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. Those of steadfast mind, you keep in peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low the inhabitants of the height. The lofty city he lays low. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. The way of the righteous is level, O just one. You make smooth the path of righteousness. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the soul's desire. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. And the moving forward suggestion for this day is, reflect on the ways you have carried the light of Christ, and when you have failed, what will you do differently in this new year? And now we flip the page into a brand new year, to 2025. A Happy New Year's to you. Let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, January 1st, New Year's Day. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 21. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. One of the things I love about being a Montessori teacher is how we teach grammar to young children. Every part of speech has a symbol and a story. I introduce nouns by telling my students that the word noun comes from Latin and means name. Nouns are the first words, and we use them to name everything we can see, feel, or think. The word used to name something or someone matters because its meaning, whether the name is ruler or John. Well, today we commemorate the day Jesus was publicly given his name, chosen by an angel of the Lord. This name is not just any name. This name is above all other names. This name identifies who Jesus is and the meaning of his life. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of humankind, God made flesh to live among us and to give us life. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, and blessed be your holy name. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day, Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And the moving forward question for this January 1st, New Year's Day 2025, what's in a name? Reflect on the meaning and or legacy of your name. The commentary for Thursday, January 2nd, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 2. Of course, from the New Testament. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. I'm a word nerd. I love to explore the connected meanings of words and regularly refer to the etymology app on my phone. When I learn that trust and tree share the same ancient root, a new image of faith was created for me. I become like a tree, supported, sustained, and standing firm, grounded by my faith in God, despite any turmoil that threatens to uproot me. Our ancestors are offered as examples of faith. They trusted that God exists, and they were obedient despite not knowing how God's promises would be kept. They continued to seek God, believing that though they faced numerous challenges, God cared enough to respond to their need, and their faith pleased God. How do we live by faith, as did our faithful forebears? It's not always easy, but if we continue to seek God, trust that God cares, and believe that we are heirs to God's eternal promises, we become like trees nourished and supported by our ancient roots, with budding branches reaching up into the heavens to receive light. God, the master arborist, is pleased to help us grow. And now the full passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Excuse me, this is chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed where he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And the moving forward suggestion to all of us on this Thursday is, give thanks for the trees and all of the other gifts of God. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, January 3rd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Picturing Jesus as a gate isn't quite as comforting as seeing him as the good shepherd with the sheep tenderly resting on his shoulders. Well, this is probably the reason why you don't see many gate images on stained glass windows, but this metaphor is what caught my attention this morning. I'm currently between two places, a little like Jacob in today's lesson. I've left my home behind and haven't yet arrived at my future destination. I'm at the gate, the transition between in and out, between what my life was and what I hope it will be. Gates, like stairs, are thresholds, a point of entrance from one existence into another. Jacob recognized the holiness of that place and named it Bethel, the house of God. Jesus tells us that he is that place. He stands as an open gate, welcoming us in, and when we enter through him, we will find new life. Can I rest at this gate, knowing that here in the present I am in the house of God? Can you? Now here's the full passage of this gospel for today, John 10, verses 7 through 17. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have also other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. And the moving forward question for this Friday, are you at a threshold? How might this passage from John guide you in your discernment? The commentary for Saturday, January 4th, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 27. By faith, Moses persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. At the start of every new year, we are inundated with shiny offers of self-improvement, ranging from 10 ways to declutter your home to 5 steps to lose 5 pounds. How-to lists offer a predictable security that's hard to resist. If I simply do these things, I'll be rewarded with success. I've often wished faith worked similarly, but faith is not simple. Faith is more a mystery and paradox than a tidy checklist we can work our way through. It roots up firmly like a tree in Christ, but also impels us to action, to go where we are led. It is granite hard, but receptive, like water. It sees the invisible despite having limited visibility. Faith, the writer of Hebrews tells us, is seeing God's beauty in a child, facing the insurmountable, doing what seems impossible, and living without fear. It is looking ahead to a hopeful future while working to improve an often unhopeful seeming presence, even without seeing success. There are no easy steps to follow. Faith is a risk. I risk taking it because God is the guarantee. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Hebrews. It's chapter 11, verses 23 through 31. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, January 4th, in a journal, write the words, faith is, and then fill in the blank with as many descriptions as come to your mind. And now as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, January 5th, the second Sunday of Christmas. It begins with a passage from Psalm 84, verse 4. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. I love road trips. Several years ago, my daughter was beginning her master's degree program, and we set out on a road trip from Virginia to California. Once the car was packed, we simply headed west along I-40. Though our route was long and often took us through desolate locations, thanks to the interstate, it was clear. With the highway as our guide, we were able to make a few interesting detours, knowing that All we had to do was get back on the main route and we would be headed to our destination once again. The psalmist tells us that there is a highway in the hearts of all those who love God that leads directly to Zion, God's holy place. We travel on and off this highway through periods of drought and weeping, but also from strength to strength. The road is well marked. As long as we keep heading in the same direction, we're assured to reach our destination. And when we finally arrive, we find God waiting to welcome us. And now I'm going to read the passage from Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, as they go through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And the moving forward question for this day, imagine a road trip on the Pilgrim's Way. What instructions do you think would be included? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day, and a Happy New Year to you as well. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.